Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Hello, and thanks for joining me today. I can't believe that this month has already gone by so quick. Today is a Conversations with Carol show. What that means is that there's no specific topic. I am going to be sharing some of the energy changes that we're in right now because I've been getting a lot of emails, but really there's no specific topic. I'm just going to be sharing information. I'm going to be taking your calls. So if you have a question for me, you can ask me about your health. We can talk about energy shifts. We can talk about relationships. This is just an open-ended show where you and I just get to chat and enjoy each other's company via the telephone and via the radio. So if you have a question for me, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That's in the U.S. and Canada. And then we have another number that U.S., Canada, and international callers can always reach me. It's 425-644-5620. So if you've wanted to talk to a medical intuitive and you want to have me share my intuitive skills, this is a perfect opportunity. Again, the whole show is really devoted to that. What I want to do is I wanted to start off on the show talking about the energy. Again, I've been getting a lot of emails from people asking me what is going on. Everything seems to be so quickened. And when Rebecca and I were talking prior to the show, it seems like our task list continues to get longer, which for my personality, what else is new? But it just seems like the time to be able to move from one thing to the other is really quickening, and it's more difficult to be able to find enough time to even do the daily task within the 24-hour period of time. However, the energy that we're in right now, while the task list continues to grow and the energy continues to quicken, at this point in time, and we actually had an energy shift 2 days ago that occurred, is that we've actually gone into what I call an ebb time. If you were a student of esoteric science, what it does is it follows actually the principles of the universe, that's what they're called. And it talks about the fact that everything has ebbs and flows. Well, 2010 is all about ebbs and flows. And there's times where you'll have in that flow where you'll have a feeling of being in sync. You'll be able to cross things off your to-do list. You'll be able to move forward. You'll be able to execute the different processes or plans that you have or strategies that you have, but it'll just feel like there's a momentum, and that momentum is quickening, but there's a sense of excitement about it. It's like getting rid of the old and being able to start with the new. So there's just this energy that kind of feeds on itself when we're in the flow, that the more we flow, the more we want to flow. And everything in the universe, consciousness, our consciousness, group consciousness, universal consciousness, everything falls into place where it just flows seamlessly. What does that mean? That means that we don't have to struggle as hard to be able to do the things. We don't seem to suffer as long emotionally with things that occur in our lives. And we just have a different sense of excitement and enthusiasm and determination. And again, just a positiveness that we're moving in the direction that we desire. Now, 2 days ago, we actually entered into a time that is called an ebb. And the ebb time is the time where we think, where things actually feel like they're not moving at all. Now, we've just entered into it. So you may find kind of mixed messages, as I call it. On one hand, in one part of your life, it may be flowing still along the way it was when it was really moving and grooving. But then there's that other part where it seems like maybe one part is, but another part of your life just feels like it's just not going anywhere. The ebb part of the cycle of movement is very, very important. Yet in our conditioning, we're really not conditioned to be able to really appreciate the fact that it is okay to not have to push or to drive things or to move things along. Sometimes we feel like we're swimming against the tide if we do that. That's what the ebb is all about. And in this ebb time, and it's going to last for about 6 to 8 weeks, so what you will want to do is to really embrace the ebb time. So what does that mean? The ebb time is when we can really go in and take that pause. It's that breathing part that we don't necessarily do when we're always stressed and moving forward, but it's that part that allows us to be able to just contemplate, to sit back and observe our words, observe our actions, observe our behavior, observe the direction that we're headed. The ebb is the place where we have goals, we have objectives, we're moving toward them, but the ebb says, stop, look around. Are you still going the direction that you want to go? What has changed in that direction? Is there something that's changed that is asking you to really evaluate what is going on instead of just blindly moving forward, hitting whatever that goal is, and then not getting what you truly desire and turning around and looking and saying, where did I go wrong? What changed? What happened? So the ebb has a lot of value. It's contemplation. It's observation of our behavior and of the behavior of others. It's the time for us to take a pulse check of what's happening in the universe, what's happening in group consciousness, where is that consciousness? Is it still in the fear base around money or healthcare or politics or whatever it may be? It gives us a chance to see what is going on. The value of that is it helps it refine us. It helps us hone who we are, hone our direction, refine our direction, be sure that what we're saying, thinking, and doing really is in alignment with ourselves. Also in the ebb, it's a wonderful chance to be able to go back and look at situations that seem to be repeating themselves or relationships that don't seem to be moving forward in the positive direction you would like them to, or a job that seems like it just gets worse and worse every day. In the ebb, we actually have the opportunity to go in and to stop, observe, look at the options, revisit the situation, resolve the problem, meaning look for different solutions. If you've been moving in a direction and what you've been doing just feels like this, you know, you're swimming against the tide, there may be a reason for that. It may be that there's a lack of clarity. Maybe something has changed. Maybe in this ebb time, you can sit back, take that deep breath, again, revisit what your goals are, what you desire to manifest in your life, and be sure that nothing within you or outside of you has changed. Again, it's a pulse check. In the teachings, in the esoteric teachings, it's called a time of transition. It's the time where we look for new solutions, and then we take the time to think them done, as I call it. What do we want wherever we're headed to look like when we're really done? Now, what does that mean? That doesn't mean just physically being to that place where we look back and go, wow, I'm done with that. I'm finally finished with that. But what it means is that also going in and looking at it emotionally done. How are you going to feel? How are you going to act? What's your body language going to be? Are you going to be happy? Are you going to be joyful? Are you going to have a sense of peace in your life? And then mentally, what does it look like? Is it going to give you more time to think more creatively or to be able to pursue new things that you want to do? So again, thinking it till it's done, it always occurs in this ebb time. And it does not occur in that flow time because we're so busy being busy. So the energy right now, 2 days ago, and today is April 21st. So on April 19th, we actually entered into this ebb time. It will last 6 to 8 weeks. And what you'll want to do is take this time and look at, what do you want your summer to be? What do you want to accomplish? What do you want? Do you want a vacation? Do you need to plan for the trip? And then also, it's a wonderful time to look to the fall and to prepare yourself for the winter part. What do you want to accomplish by November? What do you want to accomplish by December? In doing that in this ebb time, it allows you to put together a plan. Once we have a plan, it's really easy for us to recognize, to think about that plan and to recognize the steps we're taking toward it and do something that I call heads down. And that means every day do something to execute the plan. So when you get to the place where you truly desire to be, you will have that sense of accomplishment and achievement, that sense of happiness, that can do it attitude, that positive response that is so important to the health and well-being of the body. But again, when we first enter into this time, as we are now for about another 7 to 10 days, you may feel uncomfortable. You may feel restless. You may feel a sense of urgency. You may feel like you're not getting anywhere. You may wonder whether you're depressed. You may wonder whether you've lost interest, whatever it may be. Take a deep breath. Allow yourself to be in this place. It is okay to not always having to be moving forward. What your soul says, excuse me, in the ebb time is it says, take a pulse check. Are you in alignment with me? Are you doing what is your truth? Are you speaking your truth? Are you being authentic? Are you enjoying every moment? And the reality of it is every moment matters. So in the ebb part of us, we get to evaluate every moment. So enjoy the time, enjoy the freedom to be able to just be, hang, do whatever you want to call it, and just allow yourself to look to the future, but then also to be present in the moment. All right, what I want to do after I get through with this cough here. There we go. Where is that cough button when you need it? I have this wonderful magic little button called the cough button. And anytime I'm going to cough, I can push that button and it mutes out my cough. I love it. And I don't know. My little cough button is missing. So we'll have to find that. Maybe that's part of the ebb. I need to go in and look for that cough button. Maybe we all need to find our own cough button. Maybe it'd be easier to cough than it would to be able to say something that really isn't authentic in alignment with ourselves. Okay, so let's jump in. Hi, Charlene. Line two.
Hi,
from
Carol.
Dallas. Hi, sweetie.
Hi.
How can I help you?
Oh, it's a huge treat to speak with you. I'm a huge fan. I probably listen to every show in the last 2 years.
Oh.
And you pretty much answered my question. I'm in the ebb time. I'm in transition. I'm in a job search, and I think I'm causing myself some stress. And I need to look around and see what's happened and what's changed and where I need to focus.
Absolutely. And you know, sweetie, the most important thing is go in. This is a wonderful opportunity for you to be able to really evaluate your strengths, evaluate the things that bring that joy to life. You know, it isn't about not working, but it's about working in something that allows you to work in your strengths and not necessarily in your weaknesses. The thing that I can pick up with you, Charlene, that is just so clear to me, and then I'll add, if you have a subject you want me to talk about, I will. But the thing that's so clear that I really want to recognize is that it feels like since September, October of last year, you have really been letting go of things, honey. You're creating a lot of space mentally to look at new things and different things and exciting things. And you're getting rid of a lot of the patterns of thoughts and those mental barriers that you used to have, the things that would be the coulda, shouldas. And then also a lot of the emotional release work that you've done. So I wanted to start off by really recognizing that and then saying to you that in this ebb, while it may be uncomfortable, especially since you came out of this, you know, cleaning closets and getting things done stage, it'll feel like you're not doing anything. But use this time to be able to really picture, visualize, I call it seeing it till it's done. What do you want to look like 3 months from now, 6 months, 1 year from now? What do you want to look like in 3 years from now? Allow yourself to dream, because you've been doing all this work that has made up all this space in your neurology that just allows you to think really, really big. So that's the first thing I pick up. So now when you said that you think that you're kind of stressed, are you making yourself sick over it, sweetie?
Yes. I have, systemic candida, I was told by an Ayurvedic doctor over maybe 6 months ago, and I really haven't been able to conquer that, and I wondered if that's still affecting my stomach. But let me just say that you are so right on. I got laid off the end of September, the 1st of October.
Ah, thank you for that. So I appreciate that. You know, I do this work over the phone, you know, hundreds of miles or thousands of miles from each other. And I just love that validation. Okay, so let's go in. Let's see, as far as candida. Well, actually, I need to tell you, it's not as bad as it was 2 weeks ago. Yoo-hoo, good job. Hmm. There's something, first thing I can do is that I can tell you that you're not beating yourself up the way that you were before. This is really good. I mean, it seems like you have that tendency, like so many of us, that you can become your own worst enemy, especially if you don't feel like you're really moving forward or being driven or determined to do something. There's still a slight bit of candida, but the first thing that I can say to you is that create positive affirmations. Talk nicely to yourself. This is a time of ebb. This is a time to evaluate. It's time to be able to savor the moment, enjoy the things that you can't do when you're busy being busy. Be able to spend the time, anytime it goes into negative self-talk, visualize yourself zipping your mouth closed, and you're just not going to say those things to yourself. You're not going to think those things, because negative thoughts, self-directed negative thoughts, anger, frustration, resentment, negative emotions such as those are very acidic. And the acidity doesn't always, in the case of candida, happen with food that we put in our mouth. It can be what we think and feel as well. The one thing that I can say to you, there has been change there. And I went back 2 weeks ago. I probably couldn't have had this conversation with you the way that I am now because of the state of mind that you were in. And now it's kind of like, well, okay, if I can't change it, I might as well just jump in and enjoy it. Find something positive in where I am at this particular time. You know, I've tried to, it feels like you've tried to find a job, and, you know, maybe the jobs that you were trying to find was replicating what you were doing. And while you're good at that, that's not what you really want to do. So again, opportunities in this part of it. From the candida aspect of it, one of the things that I can say is that, and I normally don't do this, but I notice that you put insight in color. I can do that. I assume you're talking about personality color?
Yes, I'm confused whether I'm a green or a yellow.
Okay, perfect. I'll come back to that. But what I want to say to you is, in that small intestine, I would like you to put the color of pink, but I'd like it to be a terracotta pink. I'd like it to be a little bit of a peachy pink. And what that is that combination is the pink around the self-love. It's around that naivety, the innocence of a child. It's that part of us that is very fun, very pure. That orange part associated with it is very social. What that means is that whatever you put in the mouth, your mouth, enjoy. You know what to eat, not to eat. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel bad. Don't worry because of the fact that you're going to eat wrong and you're going to experience all these things. So put that terracotta, kind of that peachy orange, in the small intestine. And then if you would put a teal blue in your stomach. And the reason I say that is I can actually pick up the teal blue in your field, specifically in the stomach area. I would just like to have you visualize packing your stomach with teal blue. Teal blue is the highest color of healing that we can bring into our physical body. I can encourage you to do that, but you have to do it. I can't do it for you. No healer, no practitioner, no diagnostician. Nobody can put that teal in that space in your stomach. And the reason for that is it'll get rid of the chartreuse green that has been in your stomach, and that's confusion. That's where you're fighting your head and your heart. That's why you said you can't figure out whether you're green heart or you're your yellow head. So in that particular process, so put that teal color in there. Okay, personality color. The reality, as I touch you, is that you are a yellow. And it is not uncommon in my world for yellows, because we start conditioning ourselves to fit in. We are literally square pegs trying to fit in the round world. We literally start as young as 2 and 3 years old, taking on a personality color that best suits us to be able to survive within our family dynamics, to be liked, to be appreciated, to be complimented, to be able to be rewarded for our achievements, whatever it may be. There's a couple things. If you have my book, you can go in and read the yellow personality first and then the green. You'll find that there's some crossover, because my sense is that you move very quickly from yellow to green almost without thinking about it. Yellow is who you are in neurology. Green is who you are to survive. That makes you a grillo. And the gift of that is that your green can dream and is creative, and then your yellow can create the strategy and the plan and the steps that are needed to implement it. The green can make the steps in implementing fun, and then the yellow can keep you on task and keep you marching in the direction that you want. So again, my sense is the confusion is that your numbers were so close that you moved so seamlessly from one to the other. But with your green, you become very hard on yourself. And what it feels like, sweetie, is honestly, you reject yourself. It's like you get into that perfectionist mode. You get into that part that you can't do anything right. There's your candida right there.
Right. You're great. That's
well, thank
spot
you.
On.
Very good. Well, to one fellow yellow, to another, as I share with you, I learn as well. Thanks for reminding me that I also need to put those colors in my aura. So thanks very much, sweetie. I think that
Thank
will help you on top of everything else you're doing.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Hi, let's go ahead and take Christine from California. Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
I'm very good. Thanks. We spoke in December, correct?
Yes.
Very good. How can I help you?
Well, I was wondering, I have a lot of facial hair that started, that's like on my chin.
Yep.
And it kind of started to go into my throat a little bit on my neck. And I'm curious about is this a hormonal thing or is it like blood sugar or?
No, actually, sweetie, it is a hormonal thing. And one of the things, have you had your hormones checked, your estrogen, progesterone, testosterone?
No, I never have.
One of the things you might want to do, you feel young. What's your age, sweetie?
I'm 34.
Yeah, you felt that you should not be in perimenopause. What you might want to do you have a good OBGYN that you work with or a naturopath?
I have an OBGYN.
Okay, one of the things that you could do, and most likely, she will say, it feels like a she. Is that accurate?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She'll probably say, oh, well, you're too young to be having any kind of hormone imbalances. What I would encourage you to do is ask if you can have a hormone panel done to see where your estrogen, progesterone, testosterone is. And then that can be used as a base mark. My sense is that while most women are estrogen dominant, it feels like your estrogen is depleted and that you're experiencing more progesterone. That's a masculine hormone as well as testosterone. Everything has to do with hormones, sweetie. That's all it has to do with. I'm not picking up that it has to do with blood sugar level or pancreas or anything else. It literally is just a hormone imbalance.
Interesting. Okay.
And, you know, at the same time, why don't you ask her to run a regular blood panel? And then we just want to be sure where your thyroid is. Again, it feels to me you're within the range, but you feel like you're on the low side of thyroid. And that most likely has to do with what's going on from the hormone standpoint, from progesterone and testosterone. It isn't uncommon in women somewhere between 34 to 37, some women 38 years old, prior to the perimenopause standpoint, for them to be kind of like that pre-menstrual little girl when they are somewhere between 8 and 12 years old or 13 when they start the menses. There is a cycle that women go through at that time that can cause a hormone imbalance. They become more fertile at that point in time. Their bodies go through chemistry changes at that time, and then somewhere around 40, 42, some women 38, they'll actually go into perimenopause. The other thing is, have you been on birth control pills?
Once, a long time ago, and I didn't like it.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. I couldn't tell. I had to ask. And the reason for that is I couldn't tell because of the hormones being off balance, that I wasn't sure that we were dealing with something that was tied to birth control pills. So I really couldn't tell whether it was birth control pills or hormones, frankly.
Okay. Well,
I'm
sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, I was wondering, I also have an 11-week-old baby, so I don't know if that is different.
Absolutely.
Okay. I should have told you that.
No, actually, you know what? I didn't even pick up the baby. Now, that doesn't mean you don't love the baby, but this child is really very self-sufficient. I mean, it's like this child, when I touched the child via you, it's like this child came through the birth canal and almost turned around and looked at you and said, well, thanks, Mom, for the cab ride. This has been really good. Very loving, very engaging child, but very independent, it feels like. Is that accurate?
Very much so. Very much so.
You know, so it's kind of like, well, this was all good and fun and everything. And I'm sure that a lot of what you're experiencing again, and thanks for that. I didn't pick up the child because of the fact or the, you know, the birthing because of the fact that, you know, the independence of this little child, but that very, very much could change that and will change the hormones and especially, your nursing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, what'll happen is in that nursing process is that you secrete a lot of prolactin, okay. And that prolactin can also change the hormone balances in the body, and that could be part of the contributor as well. So the best thing is just kind of talk to your OBGYN about it.
Okay.
And then if it's, you know, again, if you can't get the information that really is of value to you, you might just want to ask if would it be worthwhile to do a hormone panel on you. So you have some baseline. There's nothing wrong. It's just a baseline. So you can put your mind at ease and that you don't realize, you know, your mind doesn't think, oh my gosh, I'm going to grow chest hair and a beard, and over exaggerate. That's what it does. Yeah. No, it did. It's part of the hormone part. Actually, sweetie, I can go back and starting somewhere around 19, 20 years old, a lot of the predisposition that you're having for now and your hormones actually started then.
I'd say yes, that's when it started.
Yep. Yep. So, you know, again, something that you can just go in and, you know, continue to look at.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much. Nice to talk to you again.
So nice talking with you again. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Very, very good. All right. So I think I'm going to try to squeeze in one more before I do a commercial break. If you have a call for me, If you have a question for me, I noticed that I've got a couple of phone lines that are open. You can call me at 877-230-3062 or 425-644-5620. Let me go ahead and jump in, and I want to go ahead and take Leela before I go into commercial break. Hi, Leela. How are you?
I'm fine, Carol. Good to talk to you again.
You too, sweetie. I saw your name, and it's like, I must talk to Leela.
Yeah, so, good.
So what are we going to deal with? High cholesterol, huh?
Yes, we are. I just had a physical, and cholesterol, total cholesterol is 284.
Okay.
And HDL is a 79.
Okay.
LDL is 177.
Okay.
The ratio is 3.6. I don't think it's coming from my diet, Carol.
It isn't, sweetie. You're absolutely right. It isn't. Most likely in this particular case, most likely, let me finish that sentence. It's coming from your liver. And the liver is HDL, LDL. What were your triglycerides, Leela?
They are 142. See, I have this sheet in front of me so I can tell you all of this.
Yeah, they're high, but they're not high. I mean, I've heard people with triglycerides that are, you know, way, way up there. I mean, like 400 up there. So again, they're not really high. So part of the reason that I always ask for triglycerides is that triglycerides are really tied to a lot of the foods that we eat, the way the body metabolizes the foods and fat and so forth. My sense is that what you could do is you could go in and you can do some liver cleansing. You can focus on the liver, eat foods that are liver friendly. Those are the greens, reds, orange, fruits and vegetables. Actually, greens, the darker the green, the higher the chlorophyll. Feel the better it would be. You will want to watch cabbage family. For some reason, this is even different than when I did a reading on you not too long ago. But what you'll want to do is you want to go in and maybe some spirulina. Maybe you'll want to look. I'm not a great fan of chlorella. It's nothing wrong with it. I'm just not a great fan of it. Barley green, wheatgrass, something that can help detox your liver. It'll increase, if you can cleanse it out, it will help the liver function more effectively. It'll increase your red blood count. That'll give you more energy. And not that you need a lot, my gosh, Leela, but it will give you more energy, honey. So you might look at doing those particular things. And then when I go in, is that I would like you to visualize going in and really cleaning out kind of a closet or seeing it as a sluggish, swampy area, that lower right hand lobe of the liver. That'll be right on the outside of the body, toward the outside of the body. It'll be the part of the liver that actually hangs down below the lower rib itself. And I'd like you to go in and just see it as a swamp or a pool that's gotten green with a lot of algae and a lot of stuff in it. And it needs to be cleaned, cleansed. And the emotion that's there, honey, is guilt.
Okay.
And that's it.
Okay.
I don't even need to dwell in it.
No.
So I would look at things like that. That's going to change the LDL dynamics. It'll change the HDL. And my sense is that even though you know that you're up the 280s, you're not to a place where it is dangerous, but it is a place that says, okay, I need to get stress under control, work with my liver, get rid of the guilt, and move on.
Okay, sounds good.
Well, good. Nice talking to you. Thank you for calling me, and you have a wonderful day in Minnesota.
And thank you for all the great work you're doing.
Oh, my pleasure, sweetie. All right, Miss Rebecca, let's go ahead and jump into a commercial break. Then I'm going to be right back and take more of your calls and answer your questions about health or relationships or anything that you would like to discuss, because this is a Conversations with Carol Day.
Like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you. So next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Well, thank you for joining me again today. It's Conversations with Carol Day. And what that means is that I'm taking your calls and answering your questions. So if you have a question for me about your health or relationships or just a topic that you have a question about that you'd like to ask me, I encourage you to call me at 877-230-3062 or 425-644-5620. I would like to invite you to participate with me tomorrow night, April 22nd at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Daylight Time on my Your Health teleclass. It's a free 60-minute teleclass. And the topic for April is insomnia. And talk about a cosmic sense of humor. I'm absolutely loving it. Because of my schedule, yada, 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 what else is new? I actually have been having to stay up very, very late to write this insomnia PDF that I always produce. And then this morning I had to get up at 4 o'clock to be able to do it because I've got to have it done tonight. And so I'm finding, isn't it ironic? I am sitting at the computer at 4 o'clock in the morning writing about insomnia. I love cosmic sense of humor there, but I am going to be talking about insomnia. I'm going to be talking about some other sleep disorders that are associated with insomnia. I'm going to be looking at it as the psychological hidden meanings behind insomnia. And I'm also going to be sharing how it looks energetically, how it maps in the chakras, how our personality creates a predisposition or maybe intensifies or increases a predisposition to insomnia. And then I'm going to be offering a variety of ideas of how you can literally put patterns in place and activities in place that can help you get a better night's sleep, as well as conventional therapies and then also alternative therapies. Every single month, I produce one of these Your Health teleclasses. Last month was on chronic pain. Within 4 days after the teleclass itself, I actually offer an audio download for purchase and then also a printable PDF on the topic itself. And last month, I think with chronic pain, it was a 26-page topic. And on this one, I'm shooting for right now, it looks about 24 pages. So again, a lot of research. A lot of you have been sending me emails asking me, Carol, would you address this part of insomnia, or I'm experiencing this? And I had one the other day. How do I shut down the monkey mind? That's that mind that just seems to ruminate. It just seems to repeat itself. It gets us spinning. How can we do that? I had another one. What can I do to be able to actually stabilize or reset my circadian clock, that circadian inner rhythm that we have that tells our body when to sleep and when to wake up? So I've got a lot of suggestions. Again, it is a free teleclass. It is tomorrow night, April 22nd, 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. That's 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. If you can't join me, you can always purchase either the audio or the PDF or both of them. And if you want to register for the teleclass itself, just go to my website, www.ritberger.com. And while you're there, you might also check out another class I have on May 22nd, May 23rd. It's The Light of the Body. This is not a real basic. In fact, it's interesting. People will say, well, Carol, is this a real basic introduction to energy? Absolutely not. I do talk about energy and chakras, and I talk about the functions of the chakras, their purpose, how they really interact with each other, how they interact with the field, our auric field. Also, I talk about the personality and how it impacts. So it's a very comprehensive look at the light of the body. Again, that's May 22nd, 23rd. That's going to be in Northern California. You can register online, www.ritberger.com. Always confuses people because I pronounce my name Ritberger, which it is, but it's spelled Ritberger. So that's why you always hear me spell it. All right, so let me go ahead and jump in. Let's take Candy from New Hampshire. Sure. Hi, Candy.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, sweetie. How can I help you?
Oh, thank you. I've been experiencing some dizziness lately, and I was hoping you could shed some light on it.
Okay. Let's see. There are two things that are happening. One is that it feels like your jaw is out of alignment. I know that may be a strange way for me to begin, but I can actually feel that the jaw is out of alignment. And what it's doing is it's putting pressure on the occiput. It's putting the pressure on the part of the brain, the skull, that could be associated with the eustachian tube, the inner ear. And my sense is that that it's this jaw that's out of alignment. Can you open your mouth real wide, sweetie? Are you able to do that, Candy?
Yep.
Okay. Can you hear it click at all? I can pick it up that it clicks. Is that accurate?
A little bit.
Okay. It's okay if it isn't, sweetie. I'm just trying. But if it is a little bit, that's great too. But one of the things is that I find that the jaw, especially when you chew in at night, feels like you're grinding your teeth. And what it's doing is it's throwing kind of that cranial nerve that you have in that occiput area. It's causing a compression there. And I can feel that compression actually feeling like it's putting an energetic, like your head in a vise around where your ears are. And I can find the dizziness associated with that. Then the second part of it that I pick up is that I pick up that because of this situation, and again, I don't mean to blow it up, I'm not really concerned, but it's important for me to say, is that what you're doing is there are certain ways that you're holding your head. And it feels, I sit with love, but like your head isn't on straight. It feels like it's shifted and it's putting pressure on the neck area and putting pressure on some of those nerves that are actually in the neck area. And some of the dizziness feels like it's more of a benign positional vertigo than it is anything else. I went in, I immediately checked for the heart to be sure that we were getting enough oxygen-rich blood to the brain and we weren't having an issue with the heart not pumping. I couldn't come up with anything there. I went in, looked at carotid arteries. I couldn't find any calcification that would cause any kind of restriction, excuse me, in the blood to the head that would cause dizziness. I went in and I looked at candida because sometimes when it goes systemic, it can create sinus infections or pressure in the sinus area that can cause ear infections and so forth. And I couldn't find any of that. So my sense is it has to do with your neck and your jaw and the area of the neck between just above your ears and your shoulders. And if you could maybe get a massage, you might want to use some essential oils. You might want to do some neck stretches. When I start pulling kind of energetically on your spine to kind of straighten your neck out, I find it wanting to compress, and it's like it wants to turn your left shoulder one direction and then wants to turn your head the other. So you feel like you're at odds with yourself in that neck area. Those things could cause a lot of the symptomology that could be the process of having the dizziness.
Is it from an old car accident injury?
It is. Yeah, it is, exactly. And it isn't even arthritis, honey. When I go in and I look at it, I can, I'll go and I'll give you the, let's see, let me give you the cervical vertebrae that I'm looking at. C4, C5. That would be just above where your neck and shoulders come together and where your shoulders come together. That's where I would find that injury.
So would, like, chiropractic, how would I fix that?
Yes, you could. You could go to chiropractic. All they need to do really is set your atlas. If they would just work with your atlas, the cervical vertebrae 1, right at the top of the brain or the base of the brainstem, the top of the neck, and just barely put movement so those neck muscles don't tighten you down. My sense is it's the neck muscles that are tightening down that's causing the jaw to not move as freely, or that clicking sound that I'm finding and so forth. And that's causing that would actually come in, and it's like everything's still trying to protect you as if that was still a current injury. Now, I have to say something around that as it kind of unfolds, is that there's something that you need to say to someone that you've been practicing, but you need to say it. There's something that you're holding inside, an emotion that just needs to be said. Maybe it's setting boundaries, or maybe it's don't treat me that way, or there's something that needs to be said. And it's not to you, it's to someone else that's tied to that same energetics in that area. And again, it doesn't feel to me like it's all that earth shattering, meaning that it's going to ruin a relationship. It just needs to be said. It's almost like you need to just say, I need you to stop doing this to me. And if you can find a way to say that from your heart, it'll make it easier.
That's why I grind my teeth?
The grinding your teeth, I think, two things. Yes, energetically, metaphorically, that is true. But I think the grinding of your teeth is something that you've always done, and I think that's a contributor to where the jaw is and so forth. You could look at a night guard or something like that. But you've grind your teeth for a long time, sweetie. I mean, I can go back as a little girl and you'd grind your teeth. So this is something that you've done for a long, long time. It's just that for some reason, the combination of everything says, nah, it's just not going to work right now. The dizziness metaphor is also the metaphor in my world is a medical intuitive spinning. What in your life is spinning? Are you spinning and not being able to find a direction? Take a deep breath. And one of the things with when somebody has dizziness, if you went to a doctor, the natural tendency is to close your eyes when you get dizzy. But if you keep your eyes open, the dizziness will subside very quickly. If there's something you can't get clear about, if there's something that you feel like you're spinning on that you just can't seem to move it forward, keep your eyes open, say something that needs to be said, and then you can move forward.
Would that also cause insomnia?
Absolutely. So
you just started talking about it, and I've been having a hard time falling asleep.
Absolutely. Huh. Absolutely. Okay. Yep, all that activity, all the things that your brain is doing while you're asleep disrupts your sleep patterns, that natural sleep pattern that you go, that deep REM that you go to. You do most of your teeth grinding within the first 3 to 4 hours after you go to sleep, and that's that light REM. It's called REM, but it's that part, actually it's deep REM that we do early on, and that's when you do most of your grinding, and that keeps you very restless. If you go to sleep, then what you'll do is you'll wake up within that time frame, and then it's difficult to go back because your brain's really aroused and active because it's been chewing, chewing, chewing.
Right.
All
and
right.
I wake up dizzy. When I wake up, yeah. I'm dizzy.
Yeah. Well, that's that has to do with pillow, head position, you know, the crick in the neck, call it whatever. The muscles lock themselves down. You might want to do some essential oil, lavender oil. You might want to look at some Tramiel. Or Arnaflora, something that is a topical anti-inflammatory that would help you. You might want to look at changing your pillow. That would help you as well. But that's why it felt to me like it's a benign positional situation. Vertigo, actually, is what's called.
Thank you so much, Carol.
You are so welcome, sweetie. Thanks very much. All right, let me go ahead and jump in. Let's go ahead and take Linda from Nebraska. Hi, sweetie.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, hun. So we've had a reading together. You are familiar with me.
Yes. It was a few years ago.
Oh, good. So how can I help you, hun?
Well, for the past week, I have been having some similar symptoms to your last caller. But I feel a little feverish in my body, and it gets a little worse throughout the day. I feel like I have a vice grip on my head, just tremendous headache. And I'm a little worried about how I feel, because it just feels like I have this low-grade kind of illness going on. But it doesn't feel like it's the flu.
No, actually, you're very accurate in all of that. I would encourage you, and I'm going to say it, and then I'm going to fill it in the blank so you don't get overly concerned. I would do that. I would go in and I would talk to the doctor. You do have a low grade infection. This feels like it's tied to a weakened immune system itself. It feels almost like it's, and that you don't have it. I'm going to be very clear to say that, almost the implications of a Lyme's disease. Even though you don't, I can get the aches and the pains. I can get the low-grade infection. I can get the body temperature changes. I can get that was you. I just coughed something up for you. That might be able to help. But I would go in and I would just talk to the doctor, tell him what you're experiencing, and the fact that you do have some of the dizziness that we were just talking about, the headaches themselves. My sense is the headaches have to do with more of a tension or a pH imbalance or this low-grade infection that you've got going on. It does not feel like encephalitis. It does not feel like Lyme's. But you just feel tired and out of sorts, sweetie.
Is it, you can't tell the nature of it at all, like where it's coming from?
Actually, it feels like where it's coming from has to do with the weakening of the immune system. So let me see if I can. No, I was thinking that maybe I could connect it directly with Candida. But I know that I can feel every so often you get it, but I'm not picking that up now. It feels viral to me. It just feels viral to me.
Okay. Like a virus?
Yeah, it feels like a virus, something that's come in. Actually, it's something that feels like it's been there for a while. It seems to me we talked about this potential. I keep going back and touching your energy. I can't really go back in time because we change so much. But it feels like a low-grade fatigue, a low-grade immune system weakening. inflammation I'm picking up in the muscles in the body itself. And I think that's causing some of the aches and the pains. I think it's putting, causing the muscles to become tight, those mastoid muscles, cardiovascular. So I would go in. It does feel viral. So that, now that doesn't say don't take antibiotics, but if the doctor suggests antibiotics, ask him, do you really believe this is bacterial? What can you do? What can you do? You could sweat it out. You could, put yourself in some sweats. You could take a warm bath. You could see if you could sweat, it out. Sauna, if you had sauna or application, something like that. Feels like it would be able to kind of burn the inflammation out. I wouldn't overdo it, but all of, I would do those things. But the fact that you just feel run down to me and you're just out of sync, if it were me in your body, I would go to a doctor and just put my mind at rest of what's going on. I really don't pick up that it's anything serious, witty. It's just, I can't find a lot of the body talking to each other the way that it needs to.
Is my immune system weakened for a particular reason?
I believe so. Yes, I believe it's tight. I believe, first of all, physically, it feels like it's weakened from probably a virus that you actually had in your body that just got active from the standpoint, became active from the standpoint of some of the things that feels like is going on in your life right now. So the metaphor that I get is that, you know, things feel like they are coming at you quickly and you just want to pull the covers over your head.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's okay to put the covers over your head. You don't have to be sick in order to do that or feel sick, sweetie, in order to do that. There's the metaphor with it. You know, you don't have to be sick. And again, everything that I'm picking up with you, Linda, is very, very low grade. That's the difficulty, is because it isn't manifesting any clear symptoms from the standpoint that you can really go in and work with it.
Yeah, so you're not worried about anything deeper, more complicated?
No, I am not. I am not. But if it were my body, frankly, I would go and just ask my questions, explain where it is, just because I know my mind is like your mind. Until I can get something concrete to hang on to. I mean, talking to me is wonderful and I can give you all these metaphors, but the bottom line of it is your mind knows that something is just not feeling right and it needs to get the information it needs to.
From a regular doctor, getting blood work and all that. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you so much, Carol.
My pleasure. My pleasure. All right. So I've got a very short period of time. Let's see. We're going to take a very big, deep breath here. Let's go ahead and take Gail. Hi, Gail. Low iron. Sweetie, I'm going to have to kind of rush through this. My apologies, but something said I just needed to talk to you.
Yes. Thank you, Carol. I have low iron stores, and I've been taking over-the-counter supplements, which hasn't been working, and I'm now on prescription iron, but I don't seem to be absorbing iron through food or, you know, supplements. Wondering what you could say about that.
Yeah, the thing is that the medication that you're on, if you're not getting the results, did your doctor give you a timeline that he thought that you should be able to start feeling and experiencing a difference?
Well, I'm going back in 3 months again. He gave me 3 months on this prescription to see if that makes a difference.
Okay. I would inquire about a different prescription.
Okay.
It feels like the iron that you're being given isn't the iron that you're going to be able to absorb. There's a couple of dynamics that are happening as well, is that I'm finding a depletion in your calcium and a depletion in magnesium. Both of those balances are very important in order for us to be able to absorb iron, whether we take it in supplements or a prescription or also through the foods that we eat. So what you might want to do is, when looking at iron and looking at the liver, you want to eat greens that are high in chlorophyll. The darker the green, the better. You will want to put kale in your diet. That was something that would be able to help you with some of the calcium depletion that I'm picking up. You will want to look at fruits and vegetables that are high in magnesium. You will want to incorporate broccoli, steam it. Your stomach feels a little bit sensitive to me. So you'll want to look at some of those things. I would look for food. I have a friend. Her name is Susan Smith Jones. And if you go to her website, SusanSmithJones.com, you will find a lot of wonderful foods that you can do to be able to build up the iron the way that it needs. But until I can get that calcium magnesium level back to where it feels like it, you know, is in balance, I'm not sure that what you're taking is going to give you all the iron that you need. You couldn't take a lot of it and get it absorbed the way it needs. We've got to add those other two things to it, to your body, and then I think you'll absorb what you're looking for.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You are most welcome. Well, I want to thank all of you for joining me today. I absolutely love these shows. I love doing all the research, but I love these shows and just being able to chat with all of you. If you want to listen to this show again, you can always go to my archives on www.ritberger.com. You can also load them down to your iPod. A friend of mine said yesterday, I get to listen to you all the time on the iPod, Carol. I appreciate all of you for supporting my work and being able to share your light with me. Have a wonderful week, and I will see you next Wednesday. Oh, actually, I won't. I'm going to have a replay, but I'll see you in 2 weeks back on the radio. Thanks for joining me.
You've been listening to The Carol Rideberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.